We're continuing our series on Christmas Unwrapped. And we've basically been exploring the good news of Christmas. Sometimes when we think about Christmas, we think about a lot of things, and sometimes we forget that the gospel is good news. It's primarily about good news. And when you get good news, you get excited. You get good news, it lifts your spirits. When you get good news, it lifts you. It elevates your mindset, your attitude. Someone came on your job and said, everybody's getting a 50% raise. He said, that's some good news. You're in the classroom, says, everybody's getting an A. That's some good news. Someone taps you on the shoulder, says, hey, I've got some good news for you. You go, what is it? What is it? Because you know your day is about to get better. And so we've kind of just been going through the Gospels, looking at the good news of Christmas, the good news of Jesus coming to the world. And we're going to pick up on that conversation today. Could you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to hear your word together as a family, to be encouraged by it, to be challenged by it, to be drawn closer to you. And I just pray that in these moments that we would sense your voice speaking to us through the scriptures, through the teachings of Jesus, and that through it we may be better, that we may grow, that we may become the people you've called us to be in this season, and that our hearts would be filled with joy because of the good news of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. When I was a kid, well, not a kid, I was a teenager. I had my driver's license. My mom gave me the incredible opportunity of driving her car around from time to time when I need to go places. If I wanted to go out, if I wanted to go run some errands, she would let me drive her car. Now, this wasn't just any car. This was a shiny, white, and gray Lexus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She let me drive her Lexus around, and I thought I was the coolest cat in the neighborhood. And one particular day, I don't even know where I was going, but there were some folks at our house, and I needed to go somewhere. So I jumped in the car. We lived in a brick house, and so I'm pulling out of the garage, and there's somebody parked behind us. And so I'm like, well, I don't feel like going inside and asking them to move the car, so let me just kind of try to squeeze out. So I put the car in reverse, and I'm looking back, and I say, okay, let me just turn hard here. And I turn and turn and turn. And I step on the gas, and I hear this. And I go, oh, no. I say, okay, let me pull back in the garage. And I pull back in the garage, and I hear it. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, my heart just dropped into the pit of my stomach. I open the car door. I look, and on the bottom, there's this huge scratch. All these scratches from the brick that scraped up against the side of the car. I'm thinking, well, it's at the bottom, so maybe no one will see. So I go back inside. I don't even go to where I was going to go. I just go back inside. I go upstairs to my room, close the door, and just stay in there and hope it goes away. So while everyone's downstairs, they're laughing, they're joking, they're eating food, they're watching television, they're getting caught up on things, and I'm upstairs by myself because I do not want anybody to say anything to me, because if I go down there, someone's going to say, so what'd you do today? Or weren't you going to go somewhere? Or, you know, and I didn't want to even approach the subject of what I had done. An hour goes by, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by. I think I'm safe. No one saw it yet. And then eventually, of course, like it always does, a day later, knock on my door. What happened to the car? So, and I was kind of thinking about that. And how many times do we do that spiritually? Where we do something wrong, we've made a mistake, we've accumulated some dirt in our lives, and we separate ourselves from God, from the things of God, from the people of God, because we're afraid to confront the things that we've done. The thing about that is, as long as we stay separated from the things of God and the people of God, we miss out on the joy and the life that comes from being close, having a relationship with God. So we might come to church, go to Sunday school, but our hearts don't fully engage, because we know the closer we get to the Lord, the closer we get to God, the more likely we'll have to deal with some of the stuff in us that we know doesn't match the stuff in Him, in God. That fear that just drives us away. Sometimes you can struggle with your prayer life, not because you don't want to pray, but just because you know if you start praying, you're going to have to deal with that stuff that you don't want to deal with. But as long as that fear keeps you away from your Heavenly Father, you only miss out in the end, because you're missing out on the life that God can give you. You're missing out on living a full Christian life. Even though we think we're safer, you know, if I just keep it to myself, if I just kind of just stay in the dark, if I just kind of keep my big toe in the waters of Christian life, I just keep my big toe in. But I'm not going to jump all the way in, because if I jump all the way in, I'm afraid of what might happen if God starts to deal with me with the things that I've done. So we need to figure out a way. How do we overcome that fear? We saw that fear in the story of Adam and Eve when they messed up and they hid. It's a natural human thing to do. This is what we do. We hide. But how do we overcome that fear? Because as long as we keep our distance, as long as we keep God at arm's length, we're missing out. We're missing out on the full life God wants to give us. Remember last week we talked about how only God can give you that ultimate significance, identity, purpose, and direction in your life. We miss out on all of that as long as we keep God at arm's length. And no matter how much we do religious activities, if our hearts aren't fully engaged, we're never going to receive the benefits of what those religious activities are supposed to bring. It's kind of like being in a service and they're singing a song and you see one person just kind of singing the song, and another person, they might have the same look on their face, but you see a tear coming down because they're experiencing something. God is doing something in their heart because they're fully engaged with what's happening. You see what I'm saying? So you can be around religious stuff. You can be sitting in Sunday school, sitting in one of your connection groups, and the word is being discussed, and people are learning things. People are like, oh my goodness, wow, I never saw that before. God is just speaking to me through this. Wow, I'm getting some direction. And then you're like, you're there, but you're not there, because your heart isn't fully engaged with what's happening. And sometimes our hearts aren't fully engaged with what's happening because we're afraid that if we get too close, the light will start to shine on things in us that we aren't ready to deal with. So how do we overcome that fear? How do we overcome that fear that keeps us away from the Lord? I'm so glad Jesus talked about this, because Jesus knew we needed to hear this. Jesus talked about this in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. He had a conversation with a very powerful man by the name of Nicodemus. And at the end of this conversation with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus thought he knew it all. He was a very powerful man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. You know, they had religious jurisdiction over all Jews all over the world. So he, thought he knew some stuff. And so he came to Jesus, acting like he knew some stuff. Jesus, I know that you must be from God because of the things that you've done. And Jesus replies and says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. In other words, you think you see, but you don't see as clearly as you think you do. So Jesus basically explains God's purposes, the big plan of God's purpose for the world. And then at the very end, he talks about this whole dynamic of people being afraid to come into the light. People preferring to stay in the dark. And why people don't come to the light. And what happens when people do come to the light. And it will really help us kind of get out of this cycle of fear that keeps us away from God. Let's take a look at it. So this is at the very end of his conversation with Nicodemus. He says, Jesus says, everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. That's us. We all do evil. I know we're saved and we're Christian and we're sanctified and all that, but if we kind of went through 2006 and recorded everything you ever said, everything you ever thought, everything you did, you wouldn't want us to broadcast that, would you? Who would sign up for that? Let's put everything you've ever thought and said and done, let's put it all on the screen, 2016. I don't think any of us would sign up for that, would we? Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. So there's a part of us, even if we love the Lord, there's a part of us that we don't always like the light. We don't always like our stuff to be out there. We have the fear of being exposed. And so we don't come to the light. We don't take that step towards the Lord because we don't want to be exposed. But here's the thing. Because you can't just read what Jesus says. You have to read what he says. If you are afraid of being exposed, that actually means there's good in you. It means you have a conscience. It means that you care that you did something wrong. If you were just a totally horrible person, you wouldn't care if your stuff was out there. Because who cares? I don't care. But if you care, that means that you want to do good, but you just didn't do good. And so you're afraid of being exposed. And look what Jesus says next. Oh, I love this. He says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been done through God. Now watch this. Because when Jesus says things, he often says things that make you go, what? And then you have to think about it again and say, oh, I see. When you first read this, it looks like what Jesus is saying is people who do evil don't come to the light. People who do good do come to the light. Doesn't that kind of look like what he's saying? People who do evil hate the light, don't come to the light because they don't want to be exposed. People who live by the truth or live righteously, come into the light so that their works can be seen to have come through God. So if you do good, if you live righteously, if you live right, you won't be afraid to come into the light because you're doing right. That's what it seems like, what he's saying. And actually, there are several scholars who will argue that this is what Jesus's point is, that Jesus is saying, if you practice evil, if you do evil things, you don't want to come to the light. But if you do good things, you will come to the light because you're not afraid of being exposed. The only problem with that is that Jesus came for people who do wicked things. He came for sinners. And last time I checked, everybody's a sinner. Last time I checked, everybody does bad things. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody hurts people. Everybody does wrong things. Everybody. So why would Jesus say only good people come to the light? I don't think that's what he's saying. You can't just read what he says. You got to read what he says. Let's look at this real quick. Look at what he's saying. He says, whoever, and this is all to help us overcome that fear of coming to the light. Look what he says. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been done through himself. Through who? God. Let me paraphrase that. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that God can get the credit for the good that he's done. You see that? Whoever lives by the truth comes to the light so that God can get the credit for the good that he's done, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been done through God. So if someone comes to the light so that God can get the credit for the good that they do, it's because they recognize that they don't have the power to do the good that they want to do. Am I making sense? So if you're coming to the light so that God can get the credit for the good that you do, it means that you recognize that there are things that you do that are wrong, that you don't have it all together, that you're not perfect, that you need help. But the difference between the person who doesn't come to the light because of fear of being exposed and the person who does come to the light is the person who does come to the light lives by the truth that God can actually take your life and do something with it. That God can actually get glory out of your life. That God can get the credit for good that happens through you. So the person who doesn't come to the light is living by the lie. The lie is, when you bring your mess into the presence of God, God will judge you. God will pick you apart. God will criticize you. God will reject you. And that's what keeps you away, that fear. But if you come to the light, it's because you're living by the truth that God can be trusted with your life, good, bad, ugly, disgusting, everything, and do something with it and bring something good out of it so that he gets the glory. The truth is, and this is what Jesus said, right before he said this, a few verses before, what did he say? Jesus said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not come to condemn you. He came to make something out of you. That is the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is that God did not come to condemn you. God came to make something out of you. There's nothing to fear. You're safe in the presence of God. Even if you think you've been saved for so long and you ought to know better by now. Even if you think, well, I should know better by now. I'm too old to be doing stuff like this. You're safe in the presence of God. Because Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to save you, to heal you, to help you, to restore you, to make something out of you. That's how you overcome that fear. Because the reason we're afraid and the reason we don't come close is because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being judged. We're afraid of all that negative stuff that comes with what some folks do when they find out the things we've done. But when we come into the presence of God, it's a different story. Let me prove it to you. In Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter met Jesus for the first time, Jesus got into Peter's boat, if you remember the story. He told Peter, go out into the water a little bit and drop your nets down. Do you remember what Peter said? He said, but Lord, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. But if you say so, I'll drop the nets down. So he dropped the nets down, and when all those fish got into that net, it almost broke, and he realized that he had had an experience with God through Jesus. And his immediate reaction was fear. He said, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinner. Right? He didn't want to be close to God. Because he thought his sin would be an opportunity for God to reject him. But what did Jesus say in response? He said, "Peter, do not be afraid. I will make you fishers of men." You see that? Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to make something out of you. And when we realize that truth, we don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to be afraid of coming close to the presence of God. Because when our sin gets in the presence of God, God will not condemn us or reject us or judge us or criticize us or pick us apart, even though that's what we do to ourselves. It doesn't come from God. But God wants to make something out of us. God wants to get some glory out of our lives. This is the truth. This is what Jesus meant by those who live by the truth. When he said those that live by the truth come to the light, he wasn't saying those who get it right all the time come to the light. Those who are perfect come to the light. Those who are these great moral leaders come to the light. No, people who realize the truth that I did not come to condemn, but I came to save, those people will come to the light. Here I am, Lord. You see me. You see me, the good, the bad, all of it. And I'm coming to you because I trust you that you can make something out of me, that you didn't come to condemn me. You didn't come to reject me. You came to save me, to help me, to heal me. This is the good news of what Christmas is all about. When Jesus was born, God was telling the world, I have come to save you. I have come to save you. I've come to help you. You can come to me. You're safe with me. You're safe with me. So what does that mean for you? It means it's time for you to take that next step towards Jesus. Because now that you know you don't have anything to be afraid of, you can take that next step towards Jesus and not worry about what Jesus will say, what Jesus will do. No, because he didn't come to condemn. So for you, it might mean rededicating your life. For you, it might mean re-engaging your heart into the things of God rather than just showing up around religious activity, engaging your heart into what's happening. For you, it could be signing up for this fast coming up to really take that next step in your relationship with God, to take another step towards Jesus, to make something out of you, not to condemn you, but to use you for his glory. For you, it might be making a decision for the first time to say, Lord, I trust you with my life. Here I am. I trust that you have the power to forgive and to heal and to restore me. But I want you to make a decision today. You've got some cards, some connection cards, or something you can write on the back. Maybe you have a journal, but what will that decision for you be today? That next step towards Jesus. The scripture says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know why? Because he didn't come to condemn you. He came to mold you and shape you. Yeah. Yeah. We think we take a step to God and God takes a step back. You know? If you knew what I did yesterday, if I take a step towards him, he's going to take a step back. No, if you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. I'm going to give you a few moments to make a decision, what your decision will be today, but I invite you to take a next step. And you know what it is. You know what it is because you know your heart. It's your heart. It's your relationship with the Lord. Whatever that next step is, if you've been feeling distant or feeling like you've kind of been keeping God at arm's length because you didn't want to confront some things that you've done and you feel afraid of what might happen if you step into the light, Now is your moment to step into the light, because you're safe in his arms.